But we also give the advisory role and feedback to stakeholders in terms of the areas where the brand might either be negatively impacted or where there are areas of opportunity which can be pursued by our country in its positioning of itself internationally. In terms of the governance structure, that's on slide 7, we have a board of trustees, which we believe they will report to the executive authority. I would imagine at this stage in terms of the Department of Communication. And we've detailed also the board structure in terms of the committees that exist and the executive management. Chair, I will not go into the details of the next programs, but we have highlighted the programs and the sub-programs underpinning Brand South Africa's activities. There are essentially three programs. One is administration. The second one is the brand strategy development and management, which is really managing the brand of the country. And lastly, it's reputation management, which is also linked to that, which is really around managing the reputation of the country proactively as well as reactively in the event that there are negative externalities that impact on the brand of the country. And we do so working with the other entities. And I think in terms of the strategic thrust of those programs and sub-programs, our head of strategic marketing communications will speak in more detail to them. But at this point, just suffice to say that in terms of, if I look at slide 9, in terms of the first program where we detail the sustainable organization, you'll see that the strategic thrust around really ensuring that we find continue to find external additional funding sources or additional revenue sources, but it's also about leveraging resources to try and ensure that 3% of our funding or 3% of the additional funding is through strategic partnerships with the either private sector or other partners. We also seek to ensure that from an audit point of view we continue to have an unqualified audit. And then the second one relates really to the organizational development. We are in the process of an organizational development proposal, which is currently sitting with the board, and once approved, that we ensure that we can optimize the operations of the organization by ensuring that we appoint the staff in the right places. And then the third one, under 2.1, which is brand and message alignment, the strategic thrust there around really training stakeholders around brand message and alignment, and ensuring that we develop a coherent and consistent message for the country. We do this, but we obviously constantly have to refine and update it so that all the entities marketing in South Africa internationally can draw from this central message. And then obviously we need to run an international and as well as a domestic marketing program. Pride and patriotism programs relate really to the work that we need to do here at home. And I might just add that 60% of our work is focused internationally, 40% is focused domestically here at home. The strategic thrust of our Pride and Patriotism program or outcome is really domestic mobilization of South Africans, so getting South Africans to buy into South Africa and getting South Africans to become ambassadors for the country, because we believe that that is something that needs really a huge, huge thrust. So to get South Africans to have a positive disposition about their country and promote their country aggressively as well is part of what we are seeking to do. I'm on slide 13, which I think the marketing director will cover extensively, but to suffice to say that in terms of our international programs, the strategic thrust really there are one, it's around our Africa strategy, implementation of our Africa strategy. Some of the members will recall that in the last presentations we did highlight that we're working on the Africa and Middle East strategy, so we are going to focus on implementing that. The other thrust is around developing or growing the network of South Africans in the diaspora who support and continue to work as ambassadors for this country. We currently have such a network in the US, in the UK, Germany, China, UAE. We've extended most recently to Australia as well, or we've extended the network in Australia last year. And then we'll continue to use strategic platforms globally to market South Africa where the opportunity presents itself. And lastly, we'll build stronger relationships with the diplomatic corps, especially based here in South Africa, to seek to market South Africa more effectively in those countries. And I think the critical one would be obviously the members of the diplomatic corps from countries on the continent. At then the integrated strategic marketing communications approach as part of our annual performance plan. Our marketing director will speak to that. Thank you.
Give the five-year budget and leave those to the CFO once she gets to her area. But I think that just to give a very quick overview of the strategic marketing communications approach for the next 5 years. First of all, it's a bit driven by making sure that we respond both proactively and reactively to reputational challenges and opportunities. As identified in the environment and organizational analysis in an integrated manner. So what we want to do is to make sure that we don't work in silos within the organization or within our stakeholders, that we understand what opportunities there are, what challenges there are, and bring forth the strengths of each organization together with Brand SA to make sure that we can manage or at least enhance whatever those challenges and opportunities are. But also the key important thing is that the messaging for the next 5 years will be driven very much by unpacking what the National Development Plan is all about and making it simple and making it accessible to all manner of people, whether it be investors, whether it be the local community, whether it be other institutions of government, to make sure that we speak in a uniform manner, but in a manner that is understandable around what the actions that need to be around the NDP. As well as the achievements of 20 years, I think that we're taking for granted that there's been massive strides done by the country over the past 20 years. And importantly, how do we use those strides and that energy and that momentum that has been achieved in 20 years to propel the ambitions of the NDP? But also, the third thing is that reputation management is not going to be done for the sake of just managing a reputation or essentially spinning or trying to evade the truth. But it's going to be used strategically to make sure that we are shifting perceptions. That's really what we want to do. We want to shift perceptions about South Africa so that we can attract this this share of voice and be part of a competitive landscape that can deliver for investors but also for our own people. So we want to move from a place where people just generally know about South Africa, but actually having a deeper information about South Africa, what it is that we can offer, how we can offer it, how can they can access it, and also what kind of population, labor forces, and all those things that are important to investors and to our people, and make sure that we become a little bit more transparent around those. In terms of stakeholder relationships, this is going to be a very key focus for us in the next 5 years, because the work of Brand SA is only enhanced and only strengthened through and with working with stakeholders across different spaces. So stakeholders in business, in government, and in the NGO sector, in civil society, become critical for us because they have access to and have influence with a number of audiences that we perhaps cannot get to, purely because of limitations of resources, both people resources and financial resources. So our key strategic focus this year is going to be working with stakeholders that actually give us the momentum, that give us impact, that give us reach, but also that give us capability and visibility so that South Africans themselves can see and value what Brand South Africa is doing, but also that the international community has a very clear understanding about what South Africa has to offer as a competitive destination. On the domestic front, we have a campaign called Play Your Part. I hope that some of you have been watching it. It plays on Sundays on SABC 2 at 9 o'clock. And it's really about celebrating South Africans, ordinary and extraordinary, who've made strides in changing the shape and form of the environments that they operate in, and by giving back in whatever small way that they have, that they've been. So that part of our domestic mobilization is an ongoing program. So it's not a campaign that has a beginning and an end. It's an ongoing program. It's in a program that we'd like each and every South African to be able to say, this is how they play their part in changing the environment, whether it be for themselves, for the people around them that have a sense of hopelessness around them. But also, the second part of that is that we need to make sure that we further seed our new positioning, which is inspiring new ways. I inherited this job about 11 months ago, and I know that very many people still love Alive with Possibilities, but this is our positioning, inspiring new ways. So we're working a lot to make sure that we use this. We've just recently completed a 20-year celebratory campaign that showed the major achievements, not just, I think, in the soft issues, but in the hard issues of where South Africa has gone, the infrastructure investment programs, job creation. And it's about saying that how do we find those stories and those moments that help us to entrench that we are inspiring new ways, whether it be through innovation, through our diversity, through the massive strides that we make in terms of changing the landscape of how not just South Africa is seen, but the continent and the developing world. This slide is just to show you that we understand why we're here, and we understand who we're talking to, and we understand what we need to be talking to them about, and also that we understand what outcomes we would like to achieve with them. So, as Mina has said, that we have a very clear understanding of who our target stakeholders are, who the key stakeholders are, which were the influencers, and how we need to work with each of those stakeholders. Importantly is that we need to obviously work with the general South African public. As we all know that good news travels very slowly, the bad news that travels very quickly. But it's also our role, therefore, to make sure that we spend a lot of time empowering South African media and informing South African media about the strides that the country is doing to make sure that an improved and enhanced life is achieved for all South Africans. So that's a major part of what we do, is making sure that we engage with media in a transparent, in a confident, in a bold way about the truth about South Africa, so that their reporting is hopefully balanced with time. But this is not something that we achieve overnight. So it's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort on our part. But we also understand that we've got a very big role, not just in the international marketing of South Africa, but that we have to consistently and constantly remind South Africans to be active citizens and not to just be talkers, but also to be doers. So days like the 67 days, 67 minutes for Nelson Mandela are only but one way in which we as South Africans need to be active citizens. We hope that those days are not just once a year, but we actually take that on as something that we have to do on a day-to-day basis to make sure that we change the form and shape of our country. The next slide, I'll skip in the interest of time. We are also very aware of what the broad messaging is for South Africa, both internationally and locally. But more importantly for the update of the committee is that we are reviewing this messaging because we believe that there's a lot more texture and a lot more that South Africa can talk about itself. So we are going through a very long and consultative process with the different areas of government, of business, of civil society to make sure that our messaging is consistent, to make sure that we have the right evidence to back up our messaging, to make sure that we can speak about it boldly, but also to understand that we're speaking to different markets. So when you speak to our compatriots in other countries on the African continent, there's a certain tonality and a language and a different way of speaking than when it is that you're speaking to the first world. Maybe saying the same thing, but because we're perceived differently, it's very important that we understand how to nuance the messaging to make sure that we are not going into countries and acting like a big brother. And we're also communicating to our businesses that work on the African continent to not go out there and perpetuate some of those negative stereotypes that we still hear about South Africa on the African continent. So the messaging is broad, the messaging is nuanced, but also the messaging is very specific and understanding of the key markets and what our ambitions are as South Africa in interacting with those markets. And having spoken about that, we do understand what markets we're in. We've broken them down into key and priority markets. Those are the ones that we spend the bulk of our time engaging with, whether it be through our partners. As Linda said, we work in a much more integrated manner with the different arms of South Africa that market ourselves internationally. So whether it be SA Tourism, whether it be the DTI through TISA, whether it be through the International Relations and Cooperation Department. But we understand that there's certain markets in which we have interest, and there's a lot of effort we spend in our key markets, but also and defending the position that South Africa has in those key markets, but also trying to grow and make sure that we have a relevance in the priority markets that we have identified. In terms of stakeholders, I've talked about this. We know, who they are. We've analysed them. We know how to engage them. We have a plan around them, and we also know which groupings they are. So they fall very much around government grouping, around business, around civil society, and in civil society. Also to mention that we talk to a lot with faith-based organizations because we also understand the impact and the reach and the influence that they have on the broader population as well as youth formation. We also understand that, if you look at that slide, those are the key stakeholders that we spend a lot of our time with because they are influential, they've got impact, they've got reach. I won't go very much into their names, but you'll see that their variety, their range from, again, business, government, and civil society. In the business sector, we've taken the approach largely of working with associations because they have members that belong to them rather than individual businesses, as that would completely take our time. In terms of what Miller talked about and our programs around brand alignment, there's a lot to be done around brand alignment. It's making sure that we get buy-in from a cross-section of government departments primarily, but also, again, with business and civil society, to adhere to corporate identity, to adhere to our messaging, as well as to support our strategic programs. The one thing that we're doing this year that is in the next 5 years at least that is quite different is that we're building a nation brand masterclass because nation branding as a concept is a very new concept. It falls within the broader ambit of marketing and communications, but we want to actually make sure that students in institutions of higher education have nation branding as part of their modules that they have within their marketing and communications offering. So it doesn't become a foreign concept what being competitive is in the world of trying to get a cent out of investors. In terms of messaging as well and brand alignment, we're developing messaging and toolkits that will enable and empower stakeholders to be able to easily adhere to our corporate identity and messaging guidelines. And we've got targets about who we're targeting. So you'll see in the first page, we're targeting some of the metros, we're targeting academic institutions, and we're actually going out there and making sure that we train them on how it is that our corporate identity works, but also how it is that they need to apply it, particularly so that we have a consistent and very recognizable brand when we go out there as South Africa. In terms of active citizenship, we have the Play Your Part campaign. I won't go into much more detail about that, but we do have measures, and we're also making sure that Play Your Part campaign is not just living with Brand South Africa, but is also able to live with partners in the retail sector, in the business sector, in the government sector, and how do they play their part and show how they play their part to the broader population. We also have Play Your Part ambassadors, usually largely the youth, who are really influential, who can help us drive the message of Play Your Part, but also give them a sense of hope about what they can do to make sure that they add value to South Africa. We work very closely with a network of people called Global South Africans. So We believe that there is no ex-South African. Everybody's South African, doesn't matter where they live. So we work with a great network of global South Africans, as far away as Australia, actually, who are sometimes quite negative about South Africa. But we actually go out there and we spread the word about what South Africa is today compared to what it was 20 years ago. And we do face a lot of challenges, but I think that they're challenges we can confidently respond to, because we are, and I sit here and I say, I'm the result of that 20 years of democracy. So we go to Australia, we have a huge contingent in the UAE. I was surprised that we had 50,000 South Africans living in the UAE, a very big contingent again in the UK, as well as on the African continent in some countries, and as well as in the US. So we spend a lot of time talking to those global South Africans, purely because we understand that they could potentially be ambassadors of South Africa, and speaking positively about South Africa and what it has to offer, especially 20 years after 1994. In terms of reputation management, there's a lot we do here. It's about positioning ourselves using global platforms. So the BRICS Summit, the WEF movement, which is the World Economic Forum, we participate in that. We run media programs. We make sure that we position South Africa. But we also make sure that we give government and business a voice to talk about South Africa and what our achievements are, but more importantly, what the plans are going forward. A lot of the questions that come up at these platforms are around the NDP and investors wanting to get a little bit more understanding of what the NDP is and how it's going to actually be implemented. So that's what our work is all about. We also work very closely with international media through partnerships, but also through editorial relationships that we've built over time to make sure that we give them a balanced view and a balanced narrative of South Africa. Sometimes not to our success, but it's something we try each and every day. And then we have a very, I've got very quickly on through this, we have a very robust research department that looks at South Africa's perceptions internationally and locally. And we share this information with government departments and those of you that need it. It's very useful information in terms of speaking confidently about what the world is thinking about South Africa and what opportunities they think there are that exist in South Africa. And then internationally, we work on the African continent. I won't go into much detail, but it's Kenya, Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, Angola, South Africa, as well as the UK, the USA, and in China. In the UK and the USA, we've got country managers and China, as well as we have an Africa program manager that is based in Johannesburg for the rest of the African continent. We also have support working for us in Brazil, in Russia, in India as well, to make sure that we are well represented within the BRICS formation as a force to be reckoned with. I'll hand over to Alice.
Chairman, honorable members. I'll just highlight, if I could take that to slide 5. So slide 5 refers to our budget for the 5 years. In the current year, we're looking at an approved amount of 167 million, and we're investing 63.8 million in administration, which ensures sustainability of the organization, and then 44.8, which is then invested in brand strategy development and management, which ensures at least to improve the brand and messaging alignment together with improving pride and patriotism amongst all South Africans. And the last program that you look into that we invest in 59 million is reputation management, which ensures that there's positive disposition of the country amongst all targeted audience, be it domestically or internationally. Within the 63.8 million of administration, we have allocated 33.633 towards staff component, staff related costs, and that throughout amounts to about 20% throughout the year. It has increased. And then I'll then take you to the next slide of the HR plan. The HR plan, Chair, we've got approved 48 positions, seven of which are still vacant. And the reason why most of them are vacant is that the organization has to finalize their organizational development process. It's at accounting authority level for approval. As soon as that has been approved, then we implement in various phases all the filling of the vacancies. We've also employed one disabled employee throughout the organization. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I'm going to allow members to pose questions, comments, and we'll give you an opportunity to respond, because we want to have more sufficient time to engage with the presentation. I've got Honourable, shall I note hands members, Honourable Davis, Honourable McKenzie, I'm trying to remember her, Van Dijk. Okay, we've got Honourable Kekana, Honourable Shin, Honourable Ngwana, Honourable Matisha, Honourable Siri, Honourable I'll start sometime beside me. Honourable Zotetsi and Honourable Masukumaya will turn the team off. You'll be the last one, Honourable Ndlozi.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you very much to Brandon Sir for the presentation. I've got a few questions that I'd like to pose to you. The first thing is, in the presentation, you say that you want to encourage South Africans to live the nation's brand and in so doing define South Africanness. And I would like you to actually define South Africanness for us. What exactly do you mean by South Africanness? You also mentioned under Program 2 that you've got a 40% compliance target for complying with the CI manual. What is the current compliance, and why is the 40% target so low? Now my third question is, what is the number one challenge you face in marketing South Africa abroad? In other words, when you're trying to shift perceptions, what are you trying to shift perceptions away from and to? Then I'd like to know how much of the 167 million rand in your budget is spent on salaries, and how much is spent on consultants and external agencies. And then your market research. You mentioned that you do a lot of market research. What kind of market research do you do globally and domestically to test whether your message is getting through to your target market? In other words, are perceptions shifting, if they are shifting, as a result of your work? I note that there's 59 million rand spent on reputation management. So what kind of measurements do you have in place, and how do you work out whether your work is actually contributing to shifting perceptions? Then I'd like to know about the shift from alive with possibility to inspiring new ways, because alive with possibility sounded a far more well-defined slogan. Inspiring new ways seems quite vague, and I'd like to know what was the driver in the shift of the slogan, and I'd like to know how much was spent on developing this new slogan, and which agency you used to help you develop the new slogan. Just two more questions. You said that 40% of your market is domestic. Is that a shift from previously? Are you moving away from marketing South Africa abroad to marketing it more domestically? And if so, how much has that shift occurred? And how much does your domestic work differ from the GCIS, for example? Because the GCIS obviously also has a big role in marketing South Africa internally, specifically the work of government. And then lastly, the branding and communications director or manager, I can't remember the title, said that South Africans in Australia are quite negative about South Africa. And I think that's quite a sweeping statement, unless, of course, you do have some research to back up that statement, and I'd like to know about that research and why it is you think that Australians, expats at least living in Australia, tend to be more negative about South Africa than expats living in, say, London or America or in other parts of the African continent. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was an invitation, I think, in the Sunday Times last Sunday, looking for or inviting applications for co-sponsorships for, I think it was, events. If you could just give me a bit of information around that and that initiative. And secondly, your country managers, to follow on from my colleague, the Honourable Davis, are they retained freelance or are they full-time employees? And I'll tell you why I asked that question. There's an article by Simon Barber, who's your country manager in the USA, in today's Business Day, which goes into, in fact, it's a very well-written article on the National Development Plan. So if you could just provide me some information on that. Thank you.
Honourable Davis, actually touch on my question. I want to know, how do you measure return on investments from the international and also African target markets? And for every rand spent in overseas countries or Africa, how do you measure that you get the value for money spent? Basically, how do you know that you're going that you're doing a good job?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Mine is only two questions, and let me start by welcoming the presentation. It shows that a lot of job has been done, but in terms of pride and patriotism, I wanted to know, because of this patriotism goes to loyalty to our country, and I wanted to know what are their plans in terms of stopping piracy, because one of our pride is our national flag, and nowadays you will see it everywhere, and our emblems, and I'm worried, Chair, to see administration getting more than the job, more than what they should do. So maybe if we can get a detailed report after the budget vote, so that as soon as possible to understand, so they must unpack this administration language, because of it's general, it's not specific. We will appreciate officials. And in terms of positions, vacant posts, maybe if we can assist many people with skills and experience out there than we do it. And part of the priorities of the president and the ruling party is to make sure that we eradicate unemployment, the Chairperson. We eradicate unemployment. And let us be specific. I know that you've set a mouthful that you'll be employing as soon as possible, but we must be specific, time limits. And with that toy cut. Another one, maybe if you can check around yourself, and we promote the rainbow nation. Your management must be racially balanced. I think it will show that we are proud of our South Africa, because South Africa itself is a rainbow nation, as it was termed by the former President Nelson Mandela. So we must not just sing it, but let us do it. Chair, let me not go far, because of I would like to see the detailed report immediately after budget vote. Let me thank you for now.
Thanks, Chair, and also welcome the report. And just a few things. Just want to know how many Board of Trustees are there? Do not meet up. And when is the term of office ending? We are equally not happy about apologies when we call entities. We are not quite happy about that kind of an attitude. The other issue which partially has been raised is the vacancies which are not filled. And I hear the response is that we are still waiting for the approval from the authorities. I think it's a matter which needs to be attended. Of course, welcome the audit outcome, which is unqualified. I've seen in your presentation on finances, you are saying this financial year and the following one, are there two or three, you will still be at that unqualified according to your plan. And you are going to move to clean audit, I'm sure, on the third leg of your programs. Why so long? Why do we need 4 or 5 years to be at the level of the clean audit? But because you have an unqualified, it looks like you have the capacity to can move to clean audit quicker than what you have planned. Well, the other thing which I will be quite careful so that I don't go into international matters. Your operations in the country, how accessible are you to ordinary citizens? So that we don't find ourselves not balancing, because we know how big guys internationally can do, because they can plant issues domestically, and you start to have a problem when you are actually busy with them internationally, that they plant issues in the country for domestic programs to run. So you need some kind of accessibility to ordinary citizens in the country, and so that you don't leave the local space unattended. Otherwise, we'll be opening up when we're busy elsewhere. Just the last question, which partially was raised. You only mentioned one country, which you are saying the perception about ourselves is not good there. And it's one. So we're not sure as to what about the others. Of course, you might argue and say it's an example, but of course, if you give one example, you must give the other one. So I think, Chair, those are the things which I wanted to raise. Thanks.
No, thanks, Chair. Just one question, because most of the other questions that one had have been asked. How do they respond to this problem? And most of the researchers in the country have gone on and are still going on daily to report that internationally people have lost respect in South Africa. And as a result of that, they are not investing in South Africa, and we therefore are economically affected. And that goes on daily, particularly after the passing away of the late President Madiba. We are even the threat that down there Number three, I mean, in line with the researchers' report that have been given, out of all these more than 50 countries in the on our continent, we're number three down there when it comes to the respect that is there for South Africa internationally. And like I said, as a result of that, there is no, and you can see, I mean, investments or investors are not coming to South Africa. That affects us economically. Now, have you looked into that? Or do you have a very clear direction to say, this is what we are going to do, etc., etc.? That's why, have you looked into that? I say this because, in my thinking, from my understanding, I've not heard you, basically, saying, this is what we have done, so on and so on. Kindly respond to that. Because I want to repeat, economically, we are collapsing because of, we are no longer respected, because of more and more countries are saying that South Africa cannot be respected, and they are therefore moving out. If they kindly could respond to that. Chair,
thank
you. Thanks for the presentation. I was looking at that slide that talks to your stakeholders, and I'm mostly concerned about the issue of the support to SMEs, especially with regard to marketing. Because as much as we have a fully-fledged ministry on SMEs, but I think Brand South Africa becomes very, very critical when it comes to marketing the kind of projects that they produce. So the question will be the criteria that we normally use as we take some of these SMEs and business in general on board as we go out to market South Africa. What criteria do we use? Secondly, is how then do we, going forward, how do you see yourself coming into a pitch just to provide the necessary support with regard to that marketing aspect of the kind of projects that SMEs are producing? As I've indicated, as much as we have a minister, but Brand South Africa becomes very, very critical in terms of marketing. Secondly, I don't want to overemphasize the need for you to market yourself as an entity. I don't want to overemphasize, because I've seen you also have journals, quarterly journals and the like. But the rest, the issue of the direct interactions with communities, just for people to know exactly the kind of work that we are doing, it might also be very, very critical in that respect. And the second last one, I've heard you have one disabled person, one unit or so. My question is, at what level? Because one other issue that we've always been experiencing, it has been the issue of appointing people with disabilities just for compliance purposes at very, very lower levels, not at levels that they have influence in the kind of work that we're doing. So my question is, at what level are those disabled people that you have employed? That must also talk to the issue of the women empowerment and the 50-50 gender balance at the level of management your with regard to your executives. So perhaps you might also want to be appraised as the committee in that respect. Thanks. I think maybe with regard to in the last 2 years, the issue of the audit, how have you been performing with regard to the finances in the last two financial years? Perhaps as the committee, we might also want to be clarified in that respect. What are those pertinent issues that the Auditor General has been picking up for you to try and assist in improving the kind of work that we're doing going forward, specifically in the last 2 years. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. How would you rate the impact of your advocacy on public South African to young people, especially those in mystery schools, to make them good ambassadors of the country? Some of them were born in suburbs, they don't even understand our culture because they were never involved in township life. And it is in the language that you have the culture that makes you a proud South African. How do you advocate to make them good ambassadors? And on stakeholder relations, what is your relation with the relationship with Competition Commission, especially its agency, ITEC, International Trade Agency Commission, that deals with anti-dumping and combating illegal stuff coming to South Africa, and fake stuff as well? We have come across a situation whereby things are manufactured outside South Africa, they come through one of the 30 countries. You know, the factory will just put on buttons and the label will be probably South African. We also have a lot of stuff from China that is sold very cheap in South Africa. And most of the manufacturing companies in South Africa are closed, and it increases the rate of unemployment and also kills the economy of the country. We also hear rumors, but we are not sure how far true that, but making a follow-up of what you read from the media, to some extent, we believe it is true that people make business in South Africa, but they never use our banks. So, in other words, we don't benefit anything from them. They actually benefit a lot from us, and unfairly so. They invest in their own countries. And the last one, in your opinion, do you think the media in South Africa is patriotic enough to improve the reputation of the country? The things they say about the country, does it put us at a level whereby we say we are proudly South African, we are South Africans, regardless of the color of our skin, but South Africans being ambassadors when we go to other countries? And some of us were fortunate enough to have been on study tours overseas, and we talk to people in those countries. They'll never tell you what to say in their country. Not for us not to, to claim easy victories, maybe, so to say. But for people to say so many negative things about their own country, and contradictory to that, we see many people coming to South Africa and dying to be classified as South Africans, and we have these other issues that the media is talking about the country. So I would like to know, in your own opinion, do you think the media is playing ball or they're playing the men? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and thank you to Brenda Say for the presentation. I think I am covered by my other colleagues on some issues. On the number of board members and also on the issue of the vacancies that are there. There's 13 vacant and there's 8 place on hold, if you could unpack that. Sometimes it's worrying to hear the last comment by Honorable Zodeti, South Africans back-mouthing the country outside. And it does happen. And when it comes to those in Australia, I would like to know the racial presentation or representation of those in Australia. Because there's so many of them that left, especially just before the 1994 elections. Most of them went to Australia, and for me, they were just bitter people who continue to be bitter out there in Australia, not understanding what the country has, how it has progressed. But I think one should appreciate the kind of work that you're doing in branding South Africa out there. I was fortunate on April 27, I was in London as part of the the celebrations of 20 years of democracy, because also we also have a collaboration, the Gauteng legislature with Oxford University. And I happened to be with Ms. Maponya when she was there, and it was interesting to find how many South Africans that are in London who reconfirmed how they are proud to be South African and what is it that this country has done for them, but also continue to market and brand South Africa. There was a reemphasis at that time. So it shows also the kind of work that you're doing. I think you're not doing much in Africa, especially SADC, because I believe that part of the continent played more significant roles during the liberation struggles, the liberation of the Republic of South Africa today. In Gauteng, it was interesting when the citizen responsibility campaign was launched, that the Brand South Africa came in to partner with the Gauteng legislature and the Gauteng Speakers Forum. So I think we need to continue nourishing that and ensure that you help in that aspect, because other partners are now the Constitutional Hill, who are promoting Constitution Mondays, singing of the national anthem and hoisting of the flag on Mondays. The AG, I think I'm not sure why you want to have more years in order to go green, to achieve a clean audit, because according to the last audit outcome, it was only on the annual financial statement and the supply chain management where the AG's comment was that leadership should enhance their oversight over financial reporting and compliance to prevent errors in financial statements and irregular expenditure. That was the main area that that made you not to achieve the clean audit. So I think if you do that and concentrate on that, then you can easily, even in the next audit outcome, probably achieve that. But I want to know because one of the requirements by the Auditor General is to vet those who are in the supply chain management, and I just want to know if you've done that. On what was raised by my colleague also on the people with disabilities, I want to know how far you, because you have to share the 2% representation compliance, and I'm happy that you raised the issue on at what levels. I didn't understand what Honorable Madisha was talking about economically collapsing and South Africa not reflected or not respected. But I think that the issue that has been on the media around the national anthem and the flag, you are better placed to ensure that it does happen for that social cohesion and one has seen from your plans and issues around the country image versus the country identity, that those are some of the issues that you can help the country to go forward and believe that you are the best out there to deal with the issues of the flag and the national anthem and ensure that indeed South Africa's flag is raised high. Thank you, Chairperson, and that.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on the reputation management. In your interactions with people offshore and the BRICS countries about South Africa, what are the sort of main perceptions they're bringing back or giving you that you believe government needs to take on board and correct? We're talking, particularly, I suppose, about the downgrading of South Africa by the ratings agencies, the reluctance to invest because of regulatory uncertainty. These are all things that affect our management, our reputation, and wanting to know if you have made positive feedbacks to government on how they should correct this, and if government is willing to listen. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
I wanted to also know how do you measure the brand. It seems to me that there's a heavily reliance on whether the brand's success will be judged by the fact that we are attracting investments from overboard. I think it will be a misdiagnosis, or that people are visiting the country. I'm not sure, but I think that we must get a sense of how do you measure the South African brand abroad. I don't think that the question of the attraction of investments has to do with the brand, and I will challenge the committee to really think deeply about this, because there was a time when even the best of the best leadership of South Africa in the form of Nelson Mandela was there. You must check the investment levels. They're really not really that much changed. Should we really use the fact that people are coming to do business in South Africa, particularly foreign nationals, as a measure of our brand as to whether the world, number one, knows us, number two, thinks positively of us? I'm skeptical about that, because people who have money in the world have other types of perceptions. They can think that Mandela is a good person, but they may not think that he's a good leader for their money simply because he's black. So there are those things that I think I'd like to know how do you measure the brand, and specifically the question of investment and tourism. Patriotism. What is it that we must be collectively proud of today? I'd like to know your view to today, not in the past. What is it out there in this country that constitutes collective pride? I mean that I must join members of the ANC and celebrate with about South Africa. And what if it's there, please send it to us now. Let's hear it. Because I think we're having a real crisis. And I would have thought that you would have raised the challenges that you are facing in marketing this country, in selling the country even to itself. So I'm going to come to that just now. But I'm, of course, the provocation, because I'm on the extreme, as you can see. There are huge problems. There are problems of police brutality that are increasing. The relationship of government and the people, although many people came to vote in these general elections, but we know that on the ground, it is very difficult for an ordinary South African in Khayelitsha to feel proud. What are the challenges? I mean, and I would have thought that you would give us those challenges and say, how are you going to shift those perceptions? It seems to me that you're going to have to fight with the country's leadership. You're going to have to say that we're unable to serve South Africa because of one and two and three. The report is not doing that, and I don't know why you take the money. You must say this is the challenge. The corruption, Nkandla, makes it difficult for us to sell the country. Marikana makes it difficult to sell for South Africans to feel proud. And this is what we're going to do if you give us that money, to change these perceptions so that our people can truly feel proud to be South African. People gathered in the stadium there and they booed the president during Mandela's funeral. How did that affect the brand? Surely there's some, it must tell a huge statement about what the people think here in South Africa about South Africa. And then two other things before I conclude. One is that did you have a role in Mandela's funeral? If any, what was it? And the mourning period of Nelson Mandela. It seems to me if you're interested in increasing our levels of pride about the country, one of the major things about South Africa in the ways in which it thinks of itself is the brand of Nelson Mandela and his story and so on. Did you have any role in the mourning period, in the funeral, and what was that role? And then 20 years of democracy. Here is really clarity. How are you telling that story? And what are you saying? about the past 20 years of democracy. I mean, there hasn't been really excitement this year. It's one anniversary that I have not felt personally. Maybe I don't watch television enough, but what out there have you done to bring South Africans into a conversation to play in certain instances of pride about the past 20 years? Just an expansion, really. And then, what would you say if we were to propose that the national anthem must change, and we must not sing the stem, we must sing Nkosi Helela that was there, which is a beautiful prayer of liberation. Should we really? Will white people feel unpatriotic? Do they think the stem represents them in the anthem? I'm saying that because there are people here who feel like we must be taught the anthem every morning. There are problems with that anthem in terms of the heritage of South Africa. What's the problem with singing Sesotho or Setswana and Zulu only? I'm just being provocative because I think that it was a mistake, maybe. What are your views on that? Maybe we must just sing Nkosi Helela, Morena Voluka, sing about the Holy Spirit who must come and bless Africa and stop there. Would that be a problem to the brand of South Africa? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think, honorable members, there are certain things that belong to us as politicians that it is us who must engage on and discuss and give direction. I do not think that the entities, as employees of government, would be able to respond to your question, specifically on the national anthem. It's a political dialogue that maybe EFF can start and get us out there so that we can respond to it. It's about national unity. I think it's a political debate that we can have, I'm just saying, which cannot be expected from the team. But let me leave them to respond to it. Before you respond, my co-chairperson is going to speak, and then we give you to respond. But I'm just saying, let's be cautious about that, the boundaries that they are able to respond to. And while it's a platform for us to engage on openly, we have freedom of speech. They do not enjoy that privilege that we have of discussion. And I think more and more we'd have to find a platform to engage on a number of issues that we still have to. But unfortunately, certain things they can't respond to. So
can I just clarify that one, Chair? I realize the limitations. And the specific thing is that I want them to advise us on. Would it be difficult to handle the rebranding, their view really of the national anthem? And I say that because I think we're preparing ourselves to raise that debate. Sure.
Let's look at the debate and we get there. You must win the debate first. Honorable Munamuru.
Yes, co-chair, because I'm in co-chairing with you, I'm sure. Let me hold on to some other issues I really wanted to comment on. But safe to indicate that, we are a new committee, it's a joint committee, it's a portfolio committee for telecommunication and postal services, it's communication, and new as we are. Of course, sometimes during the process of orientation, we might make mistakes where we ask questions that don't necessarily relate, but I would really need the members to really think that it was here the engagements that have put political issues, let them be political matters that we can engage politically, and of course, we don't want to overburden you, to put a very heavy stone that you don't know how to move. We'll actually reserve those for political engagement at our political platforms. Still engaging with your presentations, one wants to, I would need to get back to the issue that says charity begins at home in terms of that. And I'm glad that within the process of your presentation, you did say that there's also a branding of South Africa to the South Africans. But what one would really want to interrogate is that I believe majority of South Africans, particularly those who are poor, because the majority of them are poor, do not know South Africa. and the country, particularly in the tourism industry, because it's very expensive to travel around. And I think, I wonder if there was any particular focus. I can give you an example. Table Mountain, you can ask, make a research, how many have been to Table Mountain, know it. Possibly, if you ask them, they'll tell you that they do not have the necessary funds to do that. And my opinion is that if we have something like Brand South Africa, that is what our thinking should be there, so that we teach our people about who we are, not necessarily, if you can count the number of people who come to Table Mountain, where, and then count it to our people, how many do take the interest, even the interest of going there because of the financial constraints. I think we need to really survey where we are saying, do we have, are the prices, even the prices, are they reasonable for our ordinary, poor South Africans who don't know their country? I'm sure that's where I think we should start, so that patriotism starts that they understand and know, and you know, learn to appreciate the environment and you know the beautiful country they have, because it's theirs. But of course, limited by those financial constraints, what do we do? I think that's a major question that I'm really putting forward, and I would like us to interrogate it thoroughly, and of course would be glad moving forward to realize that we actually also understand the background and who we are, and also take ourselves on board as a country. The other issue, the mobilizing of all spheres of society across board, I really appreciate it. And I think possibly branding South Africa should not, I don't see it necessarily as people who are hired to just do that, but you can brand it also by also educating other people who move to, you know, to visit other countries, or who go on tours, or even study tours. I'm actually making this mention. I'm mentioning this because I know that we do move, go as committees sometimes to other countries. We do meet various delegations in other countries. I'm glad that Honorable Masebo did make mention that the Speakers Forum do have a touch of you, but it doesn't filtrate to the committees. I'll give an example. We once went to Ghana in my past committee. And once we arrived in Ghana, half the time of our work was absorbed by people wanting to know about South Africa. We had to stop and say, by the way, we were on study tour, can you also allow our space? Because everybody wanted to understand, how did you deal with this? How did you do that? That interest in the country was there, particularly in other countries, they do want to know about us. So I'm actually saying, if we brand it, we need to look into also people who leave the country to visit other countries, particularly those who are in parliaments, in governments, you know, that partnership, particularly with the international relations in terms of dealing with delegations, and also ensuring that beyond that, we marketed patriotism as well for those who leave, because if we have a negative person who hates the country, see everything negative, who don't like anything, obviously we're doing disservice to the country, and that person will always travel. But we do need to make an impact for those people who still hate everything around them, to start to see the positive about where we are. Including, you know, there's one delegation I met somewhere offering presents, which when I looked at one of the presents, it was written made from China. And you know, with interest, I tried to interrogate and found that they said no, we found them, they were cheaper, you know, something like that. But you know, branding South Africa for you, where do you feature? I will leave all other issues, because most issues are mentioned, and other issues for further engagement the day we come and do our own engagement. But possibly this question you once had, the rationale behind having a high number of board members. Possibly you can also explain that. Possibly you did have this kind of question in the past. Would like to share with yourself. Just that. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm going to request you to respond to the questions and comments that have been raised. But from my side, just one thing, and I'll restrict myself not to go into detail on issues. Just on how are you correcting or responding to the issues raised by the AG?
regular expenditure, the issues of SEM, if you can just respond to it. If you've put mechanisms in place to ensure that it doesn't happen, and the controls, thanks, and just respond, the team can respond in no particular order.
Thank you very much, Chair and members. Perhaps I should ask one of our trustees to respond specifically to the board-related issues, and then I will respond and ask my fellow EXCO member here to respond to specific questions. So let me first defer to the board member. But also thank you very much to the co-chairs for your intercession on some of those questions. We will deal with them as best as we can. Thank you.
Thank you. Firstly, let me start with again emphasizing the apology from the chairperson and the other board members. I think we, if those members who have been on the previous portfolio committee will be able to attest that we vigorously engage this committee and we value the engagement with this committee, and whenever we have had engagements in the past, we have had quite a number of our board members present. I think there was a particular issue with this one where all of us, you know, heard about very late. And I was the only one who happened to be in Cape Town and was able to get out of other commitments to come here. We have instructed our board secretary to make sure that this doesn't happen again and that we, you know, that we get a lot of notice about engagements with this committee.
Let me just indicate my apologies. We're not expecting the entire board here, because there is measures. Honorable Praveen, when he was Minister of Finance, put some restrictions in terms of, we don't expect the whole future. I think, let me just make it from a point of chairperson. But we do expect the chairperson and at least two members, not the whole board. Because there are restrictions in terms of austerity measures.
Yeah. And then on the issue of the number of board members, the Brand South Africa traditionally resides in the presidency, and you know it's the president's prerogative to appoint the members of Brand South Africa. I think this is the first time that we find ourselves reporting directly to the president. And so it's very difficult for me to talk about the thinking behind it. But if you look at the composition of the board, it's made up of people from various sectors of society, people with influence in various sectors of society. And it was hoped that through their collective input, you know, it would have an impact on the work that we're trying to do as Brand South Africa. Having said that, we are also in a constant review of the situation, and we're looking at the moment at what is the optimum number of people we should have on the board, and whether there are other ways, in fact, of involving people more generally to you know, to maximize the input from not only the board members, but from other South Africans in various ways also. So we are very, very mindful of that fact.
Thank you, Chair. The Director of Marketing and Communications will respond to some of the questions that I'll specifically point to there, and our CFO will deal with the questions related to the audits and relating to some of the corporate services issues that have been raised, such as the vacancies, and I think she'll put the correction there in terms of the fact that the structure you're sitting with is probably the one tabled in February. So there have been a significant change in that if you look at the current structure. Let me respond first to some of the issues that have been raised. And I think in responding, it's important that one draws the distinction, which I had tried to draw earlier, that Brand South Africa is not a sector-specific marketing agency. Its role is to market the brand of the country, which is the totality of what this country is about. in so doing, it has to work with the agencies that are tasked with specific sector marketing. So, for example, tourism agency, South African Tourism, is responsible for the marketing of the tourism brand of South Africa. All right. Trade and investment will be responsible for investment promotion, so meaning they market the trade and investment brand or element of the brand of South Africa. Whereas Brand South Africa's role is to market the totality and ensure that there is a positive image, perception, and reception of the country in its entirety. If these things were running parallel, it is almost as if you would have a brand marketing agency first going in to do the spade work and make sure that the messages of the sector-specific agencies fall on fertile ground. But that, it doesn't work that way. We run all these things parallel. So trade and investment promotion, tourism promotion, all of these things run parallel. So I think it is important to highlight that. So our job is really to bridge the gap between perception and reality in building the brand of the country. And in doing that, we have to rely on objective empirical data most of the time. And so in responding then to the questions that were asked by the Honorable Davis, there is a lot of research that we do, which attests to some of the points that we highlighted. But let me come to the issue of the brand compliance, which the Director of Marketing Comms will answer and give the indication of where we stand now and why we would peg it at 40%, because it takes a lot of time to build compliance around the brand. If you think of the fact that just getting consensus around the logo, which is using one logo to market internationally, it took us a long time because there's a myriad of stakeholders. There were in excess of 70 plus logos which were used to market this country outside internationally. And so we had to get consensus with all those stakeholders. And some of them would have said, well, we've already invested money in these our own logos, so we'd give us 3 years, give us so to be able to comply. So it takes quite some time. But critically for us, it's compliance at the level of messaging that is important. Being able to present objective data about this country to potential investors, potential tourists, and so forth. And that is our main preoccupation. Now, the issue of whether investors respond to inflows of investment as a result or a function of awareness, I agree it is not that. It is both a function of awareness as well as the fundamentals in the country. The environment of doing business, the regulatory environment, all these things are critical in attracting investment, and we do take them into account. And the Chair, I would say that perhaps in our next engagement, we'll be able to share some of the research which underpins the work that we do, because it is based on empirical research. Now, a piece of work that we do, as an example on our basis, is the research amongst investors, which we call Project Thrive, or is an investor perception survey. This is conducted by Brand South Africa itself, but there are many other such pieces of work that are out there, which gives us an indication of what the concerns are amongst investors and what they find attractive about South Africa. And I think that gives you an objective understanding of what people who determine where capital goes in the world think about the country. And I think that research is very important for those purposes. But I can say at this stage that when we look at the last one that you presented, you will find that there are probably about three or so issues that are raised. And I will be clear that some of them relate, for instance, to the labor relations environment. It's not that investors do not know that there are strikes, but they may get concerned when the strikes get violent. And this is a matter that we are aware of, and we have raised. We raised them. I think the government is taking a lot of strides to address these issues. So on the basis of that empirical data, we then craft the necessary messages to market the country. As I said, on the specific issue of the brand compliance and the 40%, the marketing director will speak to that. The issue of aligned with possibility. Like any other brand, you review your brand and the evolution of that brand. Aligned with possibility was a very good slogan for the point where we were in our history, when we were selling possibility or potential. But over time, like anything else, a country develops or moves beyond just simply possibility or potential. You cannot sell potential forever. There is a point at which you've got to be able to say, we have the capabilities to deliver on the following things. We have the right environment of doing business. You can't sell potential forever. You have to get to a point where you say, We have evolved as a brand, and this is where we are, and this is what we can sell. So the logic behind moving from Alive with Possibility was actually born of a recognition of how the country has developed. And in fact, it is South Africans themselves, because we polled a lot of South Africans. When we did Alive with Possibility many years back, about 25,000 South Africans contributed into this input. In the second wave, which we did now, when we reviewed Alive with Possibility, thousands of South Africans also inputted it across institutions and as individuals. And what is coming through is that inspiration is one of those things that underpins the essence of this brand. So inspiring came out through many, many of the research findings that we had. And it is attested by the fact that our transition has been very inspiring. And many countries themselves, when they look at us from an inspiration point of view in terms of what we have been able to achieve. And that is part of our legacy. It is not going to go away. And that is why we then, on the basis of that very broad-based consensual research, we arrived at the new slogan, Inspiring New Ways, which is about the fact that South Africa inspires. Our marketing is based on a 60-40% split, 60% being international, Honourable Davis, and the 40% being domestic. That has not always been the case. In the past, our focus was largely on external marketing, when we used to be called the International Marketing Council. But we realized that you cannot sell the brand outside only. You have to sell the brand to South Africans as well. So you need to build the brand from the inside out, not outside in, because if South Africans do not understand or confidence in the brand itself, you are going to have a very difficult time to sell it. But if South Africans themselves maybe do not understand some of the fundamentals that need to be dealt with to be able to sell and build the brand, then you have a problem. Hence the shift to a split of 60-40 in terms of addressing 40% being domestic and 60% being international. The domestic issues, as I said earlier, we work very closely now with other marketing agency entities, South African Tourism, Trade and Investment, Transit South Africa, as well as GCIS. And as the marketing director indicated, increasingly we are going to have to rely on agencies such as the GCIS through their Tucson centers to reach more broadly the population of South Africa. And that forms part of our strategy. The Honourable Chair, on the issue of educating South Africans, I think I have talked about that, but I think perhaps I might just allude to the fact that our sister agency, South African Tourism, has actually, they do have a campaign that is aimed at educating South Africans about South Africa and getting South Africans to travel in South Africa, which is called the Shortlist campaign. I think it still runs that. And it's aimed at really getting South Africans to know South Africa. So that is something that we also support, because we believe that it will get South Africans to know their country a lot more. Also, in terms of using, we always say that every one of us is a brand ambassador of this country. When we travel outside the country, we all are in a role where we can promote this country, or we can either not do so. And so that's why we have messages that we prepare and we make available to whether delegations going out of this country. Those messages are updated, and the team here, if you notice in the plan, one of the things they're preparing is obviously toolkits to empower and capacitate those people who actually market the country outside to be able to use those toolkits. But for example, when AFSA executives travel overseas, they would come to our organization and we would share these messages with them in terms of how to promote and sell South Africa. We do that quite a lot, whether it's the business schools, etc. But I take your point, Chair, that it's something that we need to extend a lot more. I think in terms of the rationale for the number of board members that has been helped. Now, if I... the issue of the sponsorship tender, I will ask the Director of Marketing to speak to as well. The country managers were actually employees of Brand South Africa, and they're in essence, one can say that they are contracts that have come to an end, and you might have noted that we have actually advertised for those positions as country managers in the USA and the UK. But those roles are people who are employed by South Africa. The issue raised, I can't remember if it's the Honourable Van Dijk, in terms of the return on investment of our efforts. Well, we measure it in various ways. One of the areas I said is that we do our own research to assess the reach and impact of our decision, that the marketing director will also speak about that, for instance, an audit that we do to see how far is the message taken up that we want to be put out there. Secondly, how far do the agencies that market South Africa take this message out in as uniform and coherent a manner as we'd like them to do? That audit actually tells us that. And therefore, the 40% is based on understanding how far we have come now, and then being able to say how long would it take us to get to a point where there is consistency in message. Because part of what we are trying to achieve is to ensure that there is uptake of the messages that we are trying to put out there. So we have to assess whether these messages are finding themselves into those public spaces, into the discourse of it. Are people aware? So our research, for instance, on investor perceptions is a good barometer for us to see whether do investors get these messages and are they receiving them and are they understanding South Africa to be what it is. As an example, 2 years ago when we did the research, the major associations of South Africa was only with the mining sector and construction, if my memory serves well. We did it in 2018, and you will see a difference there in that our strategy said we need to sell South Africa as a diversified business destination. When we did the research, we have seen that the investors were starting to associate South Africa a lot more with other sectors, the retail sector and so forth. So we see those. But there are other measures that are used. For your information, there's what is called the Nation Brand Index, which polls countries, 50 countries, and really tries to look at the strength of the brand of each country and what people in those 50 countries associate. This is but one of those indices that we use. There is also what is called the Reputation Index, and I will respond to a question that was asked as well about what is the strength of our reputation and whether we are now seen as a terrible country. If you look at the most recent Reputation Index, which was done in about G20 countries, you will see that actually South Africa has done better than it did the previous year. So these things indicate obviously the strength of reputation, but for us, we assess return on investment based on the extent to which what we are trying to communicate is being picked up, and we can do that through research. But I think the managing director will answer some of the other questions. The administration question, I think the percentage of our total budget, the CFO will respond to that. Let me deal with the issue of I've touched on the fact that our work is based largely on empirical research, but it is important for us to understand the perceptions of the people we want to influence about South Africa in terms of investment, trade, etc. And therefore, that's why we really focus a lot on perception, understanding perception. There was the issue of our operations in South Africa and how accessible we are trying to make them to ordinary citizens. I think the fact that we are trying to work very closely with the GCIS attests to the fact that we are trying to get closer to South Africans. But also, in 2 years ago, 3 years ago actually, we have appointed program managers who are responsible for civil society, government, as well as business, as a means to try and reach out far broadly to the communities rather than be seen only as an entity that operates just say from Gauteng. The issue of perceptions, I think we refer to Australia as an example in terms of negative perceptions. We are only using Australia as an example. Our perception surveys cover quite a number of countries, and indeed the various issues that are a concern to South Africans in the diaspora in London, UAE, USA are very different because they are there for different reasons. South Africans who are based in Australia have actually virtually relocated and they're going to live there. You find a lot of expatriates in the UAE who are not going to live there. So you'll find different perceptions of the country from them. But I think it is important to highlight one thing, that while it is so that some South Africans are negative about the country, once we start engaging with them and we explain what has happened in this country, it's amazing to see the positivity that comes out of that. In fact, what they raise is the fact that they need more information to understand what is going on in this country. We did a similar exercise last year where we went to this talking about moving from just general awareness to informed awareness. When we presented some of our, for instance, our minister talked about some of these issues from the police point of view and what has been achieved, and once they understood this better, they said, but why are you not communicating these things? And therefore, you realize that the work that you need to do is to move from just people being generally aware to people becoming far more informed about what is happening in the country. I think one of them raised the issue of whether do we share the insights we get from the work we do, or do we share the insights from our engagement with South Africans out there in the diaspora and the kinds of issues that they raise. Yes, indeed we do that, and that's why we work with the stakeholders, various stakeholders. We share these with a whole host of people, whether it's the necessary relevant departments, we would share with them. If it's something that relates to home affairs, we go and share the insights with them. But we share our research as a matter of course with all our stakeholders, and where it impacts on them or where they are referenced in those insights, we highlight to them. And so that is really what we do with a lot of those offshore engagements. And as I said, the issues that are raised really, that you referred to, Honorable, policy certainty, the National Development Plan. Our understanding is that part of what has been asked about the National Development Plan is there's a general recognition that it is a good blueprint, and what people generally would ask is, well, you need to get down to implementation, and that is why our communications is largely now around how the National Development Plan gets implemented. I think there was a question on brand tracking. We use a number of indices to track the brand, not just in terms of international investors. There is a national perceptions audit, which we also use to track the perceptions of South Africa, of South Africans about South Africa. We also track the extent to which they feel committed to being South Africans, the extent to which they identify themselves as South Africans first, and I think that the comms director will attest, that survey usually shows commitment levels of about 80% or 90%. After the World Cup, it was at about 92%, and now I think it's between 80 and 90%, but consistently very, very high. And South Africans are proud to be South Africans, so pride levels as well are very high in that survey. But we also poll we look at other indices, the Global Competitive Index, the Nation Brand Index. We look at a whole range of indices. One of the others is Doing Business Index, which we also track and see how South Africa is performing in that particular index. So we use a very eclectic approach to understanding perceptions about South Africa and to understanding their reality and the facts as to why certain investment decisions happen or do not happen. There was a question about the values. Will you speak to the values around South Africa? What are the values? If we say South Africans must live the brand, what values are we talking about? That will be addressed by my colleague here. The question as to what is the brand of South Africa will be answered in relation to also the question of the values. But there are certain things that this country has contributed to and bequeathed to the world that cannot be taken away, one of which is the fact that, one, we are still democracy, but it's also the fact that we are now a part of the world of nations, the community of nations, and those are things that cannot be taken away. Our constitution, those are things that still rank high when people have considered South Africa. So we asked about South Africa in the consideration set. These are the things that this country has bequeathed or contributed to the world, and I don't think these are things you take away that easily. The brand or the identity of the country is a collective of everything that we are. It's about where we come from, what we stand for, and where we are going. So essentially, the history and the current and the future of this country make up what the brand is about. And so we have to sell the totality as brands. So at this stage, let me pause and ask the marketing comms director to respond to those issues, and then I'll hand over to the CFO to deal with the others while I gather my thoughts on the other questions.
Thank you, Bella. Firstly, just to contextualize the 40% compliance particularly with corporate debt to compliance. We did a study last year that was commissioned to an external service provider, looking at the levels of compliance of application of corporate debt. Corporate identity, particularly about around those agencies and all organizations that market South Africa internationally. If you had seen, I guess, a slide of the quagmire of logos that we had previously, it was quite scary to see that we had not just probably over 70 logos, but we were confusing the world as to who we were. So in a particular publication, you would see, you know, the Eastern Cape being advertised versus Gauteng being advertised versus South Africa being advertised, but no commonality. So to a particular person, we didn't have a sense of consistency, but also we were not recognizable. So we came from a very dire space almost 2 to 3 years ago. So when we did that study last year, we found that there was at least 38% compliance amongst particularly the government departments that do a lot of international marketing, so amongst international relations, South African tourism, the DTI in particular, as well as ourselves and some of the provincial tourism organizations. So that 40% target for this financial year is a 2% increase on that 38%. But the requirement is that you know, the compliance doesn't happen on its own. It happens with that we have to intervene. Not just intervene in terms of sharing what compliance is, but actually how to apply that compliance, as well as to share what the broader messaging of the country is. That does take up some time and does also require that entities review their investments and review their resources. It also requires as well that they agree, and there's a lot of consultation that has to happen before people really uptake on that compliance. So that 2% shift in the world of marketing communication is actually quite a leap that we believe we'll be taking if we look at all the organizations that we have to not just share this compliance with, but empower and train to make sure that they apply it correctly. What's our number one challenge? Our number one challenge is a country that is known for great policies, a country that is known for great strategies, a country that is known for great frameworks, but the country that now needs to start doing. And that's really some of the major challenges that we get faced with every single day. Nobody doubts that we have sound policies. Nobody doubts that we've thought through what we need to do. The questions that we raised are always about how do you then start doing? What are you going to do for us to realize and to see the fruits of these policies that you talk about? So our communication, what we would like to see is a narrative about South Africa, but not just South Africa, about the SADC region and the African continent, of a continent that is moving from just talking to doing. That's really what success would look like for us. And then in terms of the sponsorship question, Honourable, that you asked, that is part of, I don't know if you saw in the plan that I put up there, it's part of us trying to address a much, I suppose, bigger challenge that we have of how do we raise and make sure that we are sustainable and that we get increased budgets without necessarily always having to go to Treasury. So it's about saying that we do a number of programs with and through stakeholders that we believe stakeholders benefit immensely from. And what we're doing is packaging those programs and making them available to those particular stakeholders, particularly in the private sector, that can and have do the investment to put in, whether it be financial resources or human resources, to make sure that South Africa stands out just that slightly more when we are at these particular international investment opportunities, especially because they are that expensive, and we are obviously working from a dollar rate. So we're looking for extra funding. We're looking for extra funding on our marketing budget in a way that is
that I think is innovative, but also is asking stakeholders to take it a step further and not just be part of the movement, but to actually commit to being part of the movement over a long-term period.
And then the other thing is the media in South Africa patriotic? I think with time, with investment in time, with empowerment, we spend at least every week we meet two or three different media on a one-to-one basis or on a group basis, and spend a lot of time doing that. And we find that some of the media is actually not as well informed as we think that they are. And that is a lot of time that we spend informing them about some of the research and findings that we have, but also I think that educating them about the very great strides that South Africa has made, not just from perceptions that we are making up, but from empirical evidence that we're getting through all the research that we do. It is usually after we've engaged with them on a one-to-one basis that you start to see the narrative about South Africa becoming a little bit more balanced. It is also at that time that you see that they do come to us to ask for an opinion rather than just taking any opinion and going out with it. So that investment in time in educating and empowering and informing them and sharing with them what our research is has proved very, very helpful. What is South Africanness? We think South Africanness is a can-do spirit. We think that South Africanness is about innovation. We think that South Africanness is about the ability to choose possibilities. It's about creativity, but also about sustainability. We're a country that also believes in making sure that how do we leave sustainable legacies for the future and the people that come to us. So that's how we define South Africanness. Oh, and diversity. Diversity is a very, very strong part of who we are as South Africans. It comes across very many of the indices and research that we do, that our strength lies in our diversity, and actually that can-do-ness comes through as a result of that immense diversity and energy that we have as South Africans. The other thing that I wanted to add on to what my CEO said is that we measure success not just through our indices, but also through the media landscape and the media measurements that we do. We go beyond just looking at media clippings and assessing those, but we look at what share of voice do we have in the media that we're talking to and we're targeting. But also, is there a balanced narrative? Is there a negative narrative? Or is there a positive narrative about the stories and all the conversations that we're putting out there? But we go a bit further and also understand what journalists in which countries are writing about us, and if they're also just taking the information we give them and copying and pasting it onto a piece of paper, or are they engaging with the stories and creating the context? And that's where we spend a lot of time then, just educating those journalists about who and what South Africa is. We don't always do it, but we certainly work with our partners, whether it be international relations or South African tourism in the countries, to make sure that we get a much more contextualized and a balanced narrative of South Africa. What else did I miss out? Is there anything else that I missed out?
Also looking at my time. We still have some more.
Yeah, I think I'll hand over to the CFO now to answer the question.
Thank you, sir. I just want to shed some light when it comes to our human resource plan. From 2013-2014, our approved structure had 43 approved posts. During quarter one of 2014-2012, there were 5 additional posts that were approved, taking the structure to about 48. We have advertised for 9 positions out there. Currently, interviews are underway. We're hoping that in the next 2 months we'll be able to fill those vacancies. That time frame just gives people to serve notices where notices is required. So within the next, by end of quarter two, most of the positions will be filled. And For the UK and the US office, we have two consultants who are working there for us, which is John Battisti and Simon Barber, as it was earlier indicated. So in the organogram, they might appear to be vacant, but there are human bodies in those positions until such time we fill those positions through our employees. Another question that was also raised for HR was that what is the representation of females in EXCOM? 60% is females and 40% is males, and predominantly Africans. And then on the entire management structure, there's more than 50% representation of females. Another issue that was raised again was on disability. Yes, disability that we have is at the PA level, PA/administration, and your point is taken and noted that we should actually elevate that to a higher position in the organization. I think I've answered the HR issues. There was again an answer, a question asked on salaries as to what percentage it constitutes. It constitutes 20% of the total budget. And it has been like that for the past 4 years. Then the consultancy fees are about 0.004% of the total budget. And then we've got retainer fees we pay to our lead agencies that deal with digital media management, brand agency, and international reputation management. And that constitute about 0.2% of the total budget. The other question that was raised was around administration. Administration constitutes 32% of the total budget, of which 50% of that 63 is staff cost, which is 33.6 million. The other 30 million is about the office rental and related space. It also includes operational cost for various countries like the UK, the US, and China. And currently, our highest cost driver in OPEX is the recruitment and placement fees, given that we are recruiting at high-level positions. I think I've answered most of the questions there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, members. I think we've run even 10 minutes out of our morning session. I'm going to request that we end here and adjourn for our lunch, and be back for 2 o'clock with the two entities that are left. And I've got to be running now. Members are going to the restaurant for lunch. Is it something urgent? I have to run for something.
So again, it's just some questions that didn't get answered, and I'd just like to get some answers on them, please.
I need to have to go. I have an appointment for...
Okay, you may be excused, but can I answer the questions?
They have not been responded.
No.
Which questions?
Okay. There's a question about the number one challenge facing brand SA and marketing South Africa abroad. I think that the CEO might have said violent strikes, but you just have to confirm that, because I don't want to think that if you don't confirm that. Then I asked how much was spent on developing the new slogan, Inspiring New Ways. That wasn't answered, and I also asked which agency you used to do that. And then I asked which study you are referring to when you say that Australians are more negative than other expats about South Africa. Thanks.
Quickly, I think one question was answered.
Yes, it was.
Honourable
Chair, it was answered.
Honourable Chair, please, can you respond to CEO?
Thank you very much. The Inspiring New Ways slogan was co-developed with the assistance of our agency that we retained at the time. I don't think that cost more than R1 million. In fact, some time back, so I wouldn't have really the correct figures here. But it was done in concert through the agents of our advertising agency that we retained at the time.
Sorry,
to reiterate what the CEO said, is that we do a lot of engagements with South Africans in the diaspora, and that Australia in particular was used as an example rather than to say that there was empirical evidence of that. We do find that there are different issues across in the US, in the UAE, in Australia, in the UK, about South Africans who live there and how they feel about South Africa. But the common thing that we have found is that they really need a lot of information for them to, I guess, to have a better sense of what is happening in the country and to therefore be ambassadors and proud South Africans who can carry the message forward for us. That's really it.
Thank you very much, members. The lunch is going to be at the restaurant. The meeting is adjourned until 2 o'clock.
Is there something for Mbakati?
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, go listen to any members then.
Okay.